Pippa Hudson. Lines are always open on 021-446-0567.
Well, another big international sporting event is making its way towards Cape Town, with the arrival of the boats imminent in the second leg of the Volvo Ocean Race. There are seven professional racing teams who have embarked on this journey of over 80,000 kilometers around the world. They'll be traveling across four oceans, touching base on six continents, and stopping over at 12 landmark cities, one of them being our own mother city, of course. And the thing about this race is that all the boats are completely identical in their design. So the difference in performance comes down to the skill of the crew on board and to their ability to work as a team to get the optimal performance out of that boat and to respond as well as possible to the prevailing weather and sea conditions. We're going to speak in a moment to our MEC for Economic Opportunities, Alan Windy, to get a sense of the economic benefit of the race to Cape Town. But first, for more of an overview of the Volvo Ocean Race, I'm joined on the line by Bruce Parker Forsyth, who's the CEO of World Sport. Bruce, great to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you, Papa. Thanks for the time.
It's a great pleasure. Tell us about, from a sporting perspective, how significant this race is.
Yeah, basically, this is the Olympics of ocean sailing. So young boys around the world grow up and dream of one day doing this race. And ultimately, some live out their dream. And it's an 8-month journey, as you said, going around to 12 different stopovers. Roughly takes about 3 weeks in between each stopover. So they left Lisbon, and they are about to arrive sometime late Friday, Saturday, late Sunday, this weekend.
Okay, so it comes down to a difference of hours, or at most a couple of days. I mean, how far apart or close together is the field at this point?
Yeah, they basically, it's basically called match racing. They're sticking on each other. So a couple of times they've made different breakaway moves, but the guys have kind of matched them. So they're probably all going to come in, racing in, and then going to see Table Mountain. And those of you who've been out to a yacht race finished before, normally Table Mountain greets them, but also stops the wind. So they get very close and then stay there for a while looking at our beautiful mountain.
And spluttering into port at the end of it. Bruce, I mean, okay, so late Friday we start keeping our eyes peeled. It could be any time through the weekend. A lot of people have been concerned about any concept of any visitor arriving in Cape Town, given the water crisis that we're dealing with. Is that something that's been factored into the Volvo planning?
Yeah, very much so. It's very important. I mean, this time round, for instance, the Volvo Ocean Race, as a major event, has said, look, we not only must be a top sporting event, but we've got to be a thought leader, and global sustainability, ocean sustainability, has been high on the agenda. So the race itself globally is focusing on something called turning the tide on plastics. And the idea is to eventually make the events in the stopovers plastic free. Mm-hmm. But we sat with them and said, look, in Cape Town, we have a bigger issue at the moment, and that's water. And so we've turned the various expertise to see how we can do that. And basically what we're doing is, in terms of the boats themselves, the seven boats that you mentioned, each of them is going to have a water storage tank parked in front of their yachts themselves. And that's grey water. The same with the boatyard, which is like the Formula One pit lane. That's grey water. We've done a really interesting arrangement with a global company called Blue Water, who is taking the VNA-generated grey water and putting them through water purification plants, which then provides free drinking water for the public. So if you come along with a plastic bottle, you'll be given a Volvo Ocean Race souvenir glass bottle and have free drinking water. And then all the pavilions are using actual bottled water supplied by the major suppliers. So we're trying as much as possible to not impact Cape Town. We have a lot of visitors that do come in, and each one of them has been given information about Cape Town and how they can help, whether that's in terms of the showers and whether it's in terms of drinking water on site at our water purification plant. So we're making a big effort. And then lastly, our race village is a large village with lots of exhibition space, and we tracked up to a million and a half people. And so we're using that opportunity to educate people about water and how one can actually help. So we're trying our best. We're learning as we go, but we are 100% committed to be a part of the solution and not the problem.
Bruce Barker-Forsyth, thanks so much for the summary there. CEO of World Sport, giving us a good sense of the scope and scale and significance of this event. At this point of the conversation, I'd like to bring in Alan Windey, our Minister of Economic Opportunities here in the Western Cape, who's been listening in. Alan, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks. Good to be with you.
Let's get a sense of the economic impact of an event like this for Cape Town. Now, we've just heard talk of the Race Village and the million-plus visitors who'll go through there. Obviously, there's a big international spotlight on the city. What does the Volvo Ocean Race mean to the coffers of the province?
So, when the study, last study was done was 2 years ago, and then it was in excess of 500 million. Actually, 540 million then. So you can imagine, you know, it's definitely over 500 million in value. And it's in value directly because this, you know, event is happening in Cape Town. It comes to the V&A waterfront. The V&A waterfront is showcased, you know, across the world because there's international television. There's, you know, and then, of course, there's the people that come. So it really has, it's a big part of the events program that comes to Cape Town. And it was also really good to hear the organizers and what they've done about specifically water, because it's one of those things that we're asking all of the events that are coming here, you know, have you got a water plan and what is that water plan? And it was really great to hear that, because events are a key part of who we are and actually how we showcase ourselves to the world.
Yeah. Alan, we've heard talk in recent weeks of the fact that South Africa has in a way benefited from some of the really hairy weather they've experienced in the Atlantic and Caribbean region, because the boat building industry and boat servicing industry, I believe a lot of work has come our way because it's viewed as a safer, more sheltered environment. Can you confirm that? Are you seeing the benefit in that, in the sort of aligned sectors of boat servicing?
So I'm not picking the numbers up yet, but I mean, what I do know is that specifically in yacht building, I mean, we are still very, very prominent. We position ourselves very well and competitively globally. We are number two in the world when it comes to catamaran building, and over 45 feet, we're number one in the world. So we've really got a great lot of skill around building of boats and sailing boats specifically.
Alan Windey, thanks for the update there, our MEC for Economic Opportunities in the Western Cape. Obviously, I know a lot of you are wondering how you can be part of it and see it and get to look at the boats and get up close. Again, I'm going to direct you to the website volvooceanracecapetown.co.za, which has got quite extensive explanations of what's happening, the hospitality areas, the race itself, the race village, and of course the important stuff on how you get to be part of it and experience it for yourself. But just a reminder, if you are keeping an eye out for the boats themselves, we heard Bruce saying that they're expected either late Friday or over the weekend.